You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Long COVID or long-haul COVID is a series of conditions characterized by long-term, multi-system, often severe health problems persisting or appearing after the typical recovery period of COVID-19. However, there is little consensus on the definition of the term as of earlier this year. A new study by the Liggins Institute, headed by Rachel Jaros, sheds new light on the long-term health implications COVID can have, including heart disease and Parkinson's. I started our interview by asking what clarifications the study focused on and to see what new research uncovered about long COVID and its health effects.
So yes, it does. Our research can help shed light on how serious COVID can activate other health conditions. I think probably what I'd like to clarify first though is what we mean by serious COVID. So the clinical population that we studied were patients that ended up in hospital with COVID. They may have required respiratory support and actually they may have ended up with a fatal infection. So the clinical population or the data that we've used from these COVID patients were very, very, very unwell. So they had a very severe infection. And what our study has done is identify a link between the risk of developing this serious or the severe COVID infection and the potential risk of developing other conditions. So we've identified a link between serious COVID and cardiovascular disease, Parkinson's, but also some other things like Alzheimer's as well, asthma, diabetes, things that have been discussed and sort of discovered in other studies in the literature as well.
What was the methodology of the study and how many people were involved?
Okay, so our study was computational entirely, insofar that we've used large data sets from that have been collected from scientists around the world. We used data from people who were really sick with COVID. We've used data from how our DNA is folded, cells in the lung, and we've incorporated this data into our unique computational pipeline, which effectively allows us to answer questions about the genetics of COVID and its association with other conditions. In total, we had, there were over 33,000 people actually with a COVID infection that contributed their genetic information. And we compared that with over 3 million people that didn't have a COVID infection. So there were quite large data sets that we've used as part of our study.
So you actually had their DNA sequenced. Am I understanding that correctly?
So we don't actually have the DNA sequence ourselves. So the data was collected by a large group of scientists. So actually it was a collaborative effort with over 44 countries. And a group of scientists at the beginning of COVID set a protocol for collecting genetic data from serious COVID patients and also patients that didn't have a serious infection. And a number of countries signed up to this research protocol and collected the information in a standardised way and then uploaded it into a sort of repository, right? So the data that we have is actually not the direct DNA sequence, it's the meta-analysed data. So it's the data that's already been analysed by this large group of scientists. We've just incorporated that meta-analysed data into our computational pipeline.
What was novel about this study compared to other studies into long COVID?
So the novelty of our study is primarily how we've integrated the information. So we haven't just used data from severe COVID patients. We've also integrated data about how the structure of our DNA, how it folds, how it expresses itself in specific tissues and cells. So we've used lung-specific data. We've also incorporated data about how our cells are communicating with each other, how they operate together in the lung. So the novelty of our study is primarily the pipeline we've developed, the computational pipeline, but also how we've integrated this data so that we are answering not just the genetics but also the downstream effects of our genetics in a tissue-specific way. So we know that a COVID infection will primarily target lung tissue to begin with, right? So we get an upper respiratory infection or we may develop a lower respiratory infection. So the involvement of COVID with the cells within our lung is actually a critical component of why we develop a really severe infection. So by us using lung-specific data, we're able to answer the questions much more in a much more biologically meaningful way.
How many people are estimated to be affected by long COVID?
So 10%. So actually, and this is, they estimate that around 10% of people with a COVID infection will go on to develop long COVID. So, and long COVID is defined as persistent symptoms and or symptoms that are delayed or long-term complications beyond 12 weeks from that initial infection. So 10% is quite a high number.
So in order to test for if somebody has long COVID, they look for those symptoms. Are there any other tests available?
No, there isn't, yeah. So I guess the long COVID is tricky in the sense that, firstly, it's very heterogeneous. The condition itself isn't the same in every person. There's no test to diagnose long COVID, so what clinicians typically do is exclude a whole bunch of other conditions, and which means it's quite tricky for patients to get firstly the diagnosis, but also to get treatments for long COVID. As you mentioned here, there's a diagnosis of exclusion, which is, so it's a condition that's defined where there's no objective measure. So I think that a clinician could probably answer a little bit more of the clinical questions around long COVID, but just for us as scientists, it's quite tricky to study long COVID because it is very different in the way that it expresses itself in people.
Now, are you aware of any precautions people with COVID can take to reduce the potential long-term effects?
Yeah, no, the answer is no. And actually, no, I don't think that anybody can really answer that question. We really don't have any idea. It's out of my area of expertise, and a clinician, again, might have a better answer to this, but from a scientific perspective, there is actually no precaution we can take to reduce long-term effects. I guess what our study has done is identify a way that we can potentially measure your risk of developing some long-term symptoms or conditions from COVID. So our genetics can go some way to explain whether we have a risk of developing some of these other conditions. And our research also provides us with information about whether we may potentially be able to intervene, but it would require us to measure our genetics.
That was Rachel Jarrus of the Ligon Institute on a new study on the effects of long COVID.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.